back. God bless you. Hope you had a good week, a strong week. Hope your 4th of July was blessed. Again, thank you for tuning in as we study God's Word. This is Pastor Brian from Chapel of Change. And if you're watching for the very first time, super, super God bless you. Thanks for watching us. We meet here every Sunday at 10 a.m. where we worship the Lord and we study God's Word and we pray. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1, verses 5. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5. As you're turning there, I want to invite you to stand to your feet. We're going to stand to our feet to in honor of reading God's Word. And as you're turning there, I just want to speak to Chapel of Change for a couple moments. Again, we are encouraging the church to remain patient. We're encouraging the church to remain connected at what God is doing, what God is doing at Chapel of Change. Stay connected to us online. Stay connected to us through social media. If you are not on my text message ministry list, I send texts out a couple times a week with updates on the church, and as well as special type short video clips. Want to make sure you're getting fed. Want to make sure that you're staying connected. If you're not on that list, make sure you text your name. Text your name. I'm going to give you the number. Text your name to 562-393-7330. Text your name to 562-393-7330. It's on your monitor right now. I want to stay connected with you, so text your name to 562-393-7330, and you'll receive a couple of texts from me throughout the week to stay updated. Our current situation in California is very fluid. Things are changing. They change rapidly, but I thank God for Chapel of Change and our perseverance, our ability to just press in, and so again, stay connected so you know the updates on what's going on at Chapel of Change, and keep us in prayer as we seek to do our best to facilitate worship during these difficult times. So, 1 John chapter 1, if you're able, I would invite you to stand to your feet, and I'm going to read verses 5 through 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. And the word of the Lord reads like this. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light. Someone say God is light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. What can make me a whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and the doing of his word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and we open it up, pressing into your understanding. Give us wisdom. Give us strength. In Jesus' name, and everyone says, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Again, welcome back to our worship experience on Sunday. Welcome back to our study in the Bible. I pray that you come to this online experience and even one of our in-person services with a spiritual appetite, a spiritual appetite. Always remember that God feeds you at the level of your appetite, right? He feeds you at the level. You're not hungry, you're not going to get fed. The more you're hungry, the more he's going to feed you. So always come either online or in person at any one of our worship gatherings with some hunger, spiritual hunger. I'm reminded that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, he said, man shall not live off bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. And every time we come together, whether online or on site, God feeds us. He strengthens us. He nourishes us through His word, and His word gives us fresh faith. His word gives us fresh joy. His word gives us fresh hope. Now, as we enter back into our study of 1 John, the Apostle John at this time, during his letter, that he writes this letter, he's an old man, an older man. Some believe he's about 85 years old. And at that time, he had suffered much for the kingdom of God. He had endured much. And he teaches us a lot of hard truths. He teaches us a lot of hard truths. And at different points in his letter, Apostle John really goes hard in the paint. He really gives us some tough love. Someone say tough love. John gives us tough love, and he tells it like it is. He doesn't hold back. And if we can talk like family this morning, we need to acknowledge that every now and then we need some tough love. Every now and then we don't need God to hug us. We need God to correct us. Every now and then we don't need God to embrace us. We need God to correct us. And from time to time in his letter, John gives us some tough love. Now, in our scripture today, what John does is the Apostle John introduces God to us. He introduces God to us. In fact, we are going to focus our time together, our study together, in verse 5. Listen to what it says. This is the message we heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Did you catch that? God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now, in the first four verses, what John does is state his credibility. John establishes his credibility in the first four verses. He says, I heard Jesus. I touched Jesus. I felt Jesus. That's what he says. I saw Jesus. He establishes his credibility, and he's kind of excited because he repeats himself. He says it a couple times. And whenever you have a personal experience with Jesus, you can't just hold it to yourself. Whenever you have a powerful encounter with God, you just can't hold it on to yourself. John had to let us know. He had to declare what he experienced. Jeremiah, the prophet, he described it like this. He said, there was fire shut up in my bones. Fire shut up in my bones. And how many know we need the fire of God? How many know we need to be filled with fresh fire every now and then? And so John, in his first four verses, he introduces us to himself. He establishes his credibility. But then in verse 5, we see a switch where he introduces God to us. He introduces God to us. He says, God is light. God is light. Now, one of the first things we need to understand when we approach the Bible, when we go to study the Bible, one of the first things that we need to understand is that the Bible is not primarily about us. The Bible is not primarily about us. The Bible is for us, but it's not primarily about us. When we go to study the Bible, the first thought that we do not ask, we don't ask, what does the Bible say about me? You know why? Because the world doesn't revolve around me. The world doesn't revolve around you. That's not the first question you ask. The first question you ask when you go to study the Bible is, what does the Bible say about God? What does the Bible reveal about God? Because the Bible is about God. It's about God. It's not primarily about us. The Bible is about God. What does the Bible say about God? And again, when John introduces us to God, the first thing that he says is God is true, or God is light. God is light. God is light. Now, the Bible is about God from start to finish is such a critical kind of point to start off with, Because if you skip that truth, nothing else matters. If you skip that truth that the Bible is primarily about God, nothing else matters. That's why we have to start with God. We don't start with ourselves. We start with God. We bring people back to God. We bring people back to Jesus. We bring people back to the Holy Spirit. If you skip that part, everything else doesn't matter. I remember the story about the young boy who was playing baseball, and the pitcher threw the ball at him, and he swung so hard that it looked like it was going to be an infield home run. He was so excited, he began to run around first base. He began to run around second base. When he was going to third base, his third base coach was trying to signal him, was trying to get his attention, but he was so focused on going home that he ignored the third base coach. He ran around third base, and as he was going to home, he said, "Man, I'm gonna slide head first into home base and have a glorious ending." And so he dives head first. He touches the base. He beats the throw from outfield. The guy throws it in home, tries to tag him out. He beats it. He touched home base, right? And at the moment he touches home base, the umpire yells out, "You're out. You're out." The young boy got up and said, "What do you mean I'm out? I beat the throw. I touched the base before the throw got to me." And you know what the umpire said? The umpire said, "You did not touch first base. You did not touch first base. You did not hit first base. If you skip first base, nothing else matters." And it's the same way with God. It's the same way with God. You cannot skip him or else nothing else matters. Now, when Apostle John introduces us to God again, he says, "God is light. God is light." The truth that God is light is all throughout the Bible. Many scriptures declare or teach that God is light. For example, in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 4, I like this scripture. It says, "His radiance is like the sunlight. He has rays flashing from his hand." I love that about God. He has rays flashing from his hand. It kind of reminds me of 4th of July right there. He has rays flashing in his hands. It kind of reminds me of fireworks, that God is a firework kind of show. Was it me, or did it really feel like yesterday the world was blowing up? Yesterday was 4th of July, and I never experienced the 4th of July like that. It felt like all of Long Beach was blowing up. When I think of this verse, God has flashing from his hands, I think of fireworks show from heaven. Now, light itself is a major theme throughout the Bible. It's a major theme. That word light is a major theme. The Bible starts off with light in Genesis chapter 1. It says, "Then God said, let there be light." Then God said, "Let there be light." Then when Jesus comes onto the scene in his ministry in John chapter 8, verse 12, he says, "I am the light of the world." He says, "I am the light of the world." And then all the way at the end of the Bible concludes with light in Revelation 22, when it talks about the fullness of the kingdom of God. It says, "There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light." So when you think about the word light, light runs throughout the whole Bible. It's a major theme in the Bible. Now, what did Apostle John mean when he said God is light? What did he mean when he said God is light? I want to give you some basic understanding of what the Bible teaches when he says God is light. Are you following along? A couple things I want to share with you because it's important revelation to get. Number one, God is truth. God is truth. When it says that God is light, what does that mean? What does that light mean? It means that God is truth. John chapter 3, verse 21 says, "But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light." Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. You see the connection between truth and light. When you see the word truth in the Bible, it also means light. Truth is portrayed in Scripture as light. truth is portrayed in Scripture as light. God is the source and the measure of all that is true. We gotta get that understanding, that God is the source and measure of all that is true. Nothing in this whole world can be truly understood until we see things in the light of God. My brothers and sisters, if you're a born-again Christian, one of the ways you flourish in the kingdom of God is that you see everything in light of the truth of God. You interpret everything that happens in your life through the lenses. You see everything through the lenses of God's truth and God's life. That's how we live as Christians. In fact, in Psalms chapter 43, listen to this, verse 3, it says, "Oh, send out that your light and your truth. Let them lead me." That's what the psalmist cries out in Psalms chapter 43. "Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me in this world." I say, God is light. Means that God is truth. And when you deal with the subject, one of the things we got to say is that you cannot, or you should not, invent your own truth. You don't create your own truth. You do not create your own truth. What God says is the ultimate truth. What God does, whether you understand it or even whether you like it, what God says is the ultimate truth. And we need to turn to God for truth, not to ourselves for truth. Did you catch that? We don't turn to ourselves for truth. God is not happy when his people try to invent their own truth. He's not happy when his people try to create their own truth. I have three little kids. Nathaniel's 10 years old, Sarah's 9 years old, and Sophia's 6 years old. And every now and then, they will try to invent their own truth. Every now and then, Nathaniel will try to invent his own truth. I remember one time he had about 10 candies, and he didn't want to share with his sisters. He didn't want to give his sisters any candies. And I told Nathaniel, I said, "Nathaniel, it's not good to be greedy. You can't be greedy. Greedy is not a good quality." And Nathaniel turned to me and said, "I'm not greedy. I don't have to give it to them. They don't need my candy. They don't need to survive off candy. This is not being greedy," in his 10-year-old mind. And I had to correct him. I had to say, "Nathaniel, listen, Nathaniel, I'm your parent. I tell you what truth is. I tell you what right and wrong is. You don't create your own truth." And I have a feeling that every now and then God looks upon our lives and says, "Listen, you can't create your own truth. I tell you what's true. You don't tell me what's true." One of the reasons why the enemy, Satan himself, doesn't want us to operate or submit to the truth of God is because he knows that real truth will set us free. He knows that real truth will set us free. He knows that Jesus said, "You shall know the truth," in John chapter 8, "and the truth will set you free." So Satan doesn't want you to, he works overtime to stop you from receiving the real truth or falling for the fake truth, because he knows as God shines the light of truth into our heart, we become freer when we respond to it. The more you respond to the truth of God in different areas of your life, the more free you are in that area. So God is light means God is truth. You cannot invent your own truth. You must submit to God as the ultimate truth. Number two, what does it mean that God is light? God is not shady. God is not shady. Look at verse 5. It says, "In God is no darkness." In God is no darkness. Have you ever met a shady person? I had a friend a long time ago with the nickname Shady. It's because he wasn't, trustworthy. It's not a good kind of name to have. But shady people cannot be trusted. Shady people are unreliable. Shady people will tell you one thing and they'll do another. They'll do another. God is light. God is pure. God is righteous. These all point to that God can be trusted. When it says God is light, it means he's not shady. That means he can be trusted. It means he can be relied upon. It means he can be counted on. It means God won't do you wrong. God won't stab you in the back. The world may stab you in the back, but God will never, ever stab you in the back. I love what Psalms chapter 27, verse 10 says. It says, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. I love what Proverbs says, that there's a friend that sticketh to closer to a brother. Guess who that friend is? It's Jesus. Jesus. The Apostle James, he makes this clear. He goes hard in the paint in his letter in James chapter 1, verse 17. Apostle James, he says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like sifting shadows. So when it says God is light, that means he's not shady. That means he could be trusted. He could be relied upon. That means he could be counted on. That means God will never, ever forsake you. In fact, Jesus taught that. He said, I will never forsake you and I'll be with you always. That's the God that we serve. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that we understand a little bit about what it means that God is light, it means that God is truth, it means that God is not shady. Let me share with you a couple of the effects of God's light. How does the light of God affect you? What does the light of God do? What does light do in your life? I'll give you a couple of thoughts to think about this week. Number one, light exposes. Light exposes. We all, my brothers and sisters, have blind spots in our lives. We all have areas in our lives that we think are right, but are not right in God's eyes. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. So there, we all have, I don't care how spiritual you are, we all have areas in our life or blind spots in our life. And as we spend time in the light of God's presence, in the light of God's word, from time to time, that light will expose to us different areas in our life that are out of order, that are out of order. The light exposes what is out of order. Remember, we taught extensively on the kingdom of God, and one of the parts about the kingdom of God is that the kingdom of God is God's order coming to bear in our life. That God has an order for everything. He has an order for the way you think. He has an order for the way you're supposed to live. He has an order for the way you're supposed to be a spouse. He has an order for the way you're supposed to be a son or a daughter. If you live according to that order, you will flourish in a dark world. But how many of you know, because we're in this flesh and the world pulls against the kingdom of God, every now and then we get out of order. And every now and then we have areas in our life that become out of order. And the more we spend in the light of God, the more we spend in the light of his word, in the light of his presence, he exposes those areas that are out of order. And if we repent from them, then we line back up with the authority of God. This is the reason why a lot of people don't come to the light, is because they really don't want to change. This is the reason why a lot of people don't stay in the light, because they really don't want to change. In John chapter 3, verse 20, it says, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. So some people don't come to the light because as you come to the light, it exposes the sin in their life. But always remember this. God does not expose sin in your life to condemn you. He exposes sin in your life to cleanse you. But some people don't want to come to the light because it exposes their evil deeds. Others don't stay in the light, because the more they stay in the light, the more God challenges them to change. And they really, really don't want to change. There's millions of people go to church. They really, really don't want to change. They want to feel good, but they don't want to change. They want to feel good, but they don't want to change. Beloved, I think it's a good thing. I think that if you're going to a Holy Spirit-filled church, a Bible-preaching church, you should feel convicted every now and then. You should feel convicted every now and then. Because every time we sit up underneath the light of God, it should expose things in our life that are wrong. It's a good thing. It is a good thing. Don't run from the light. Let the light expose whatever needs to be put in order. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? You shouldn't be saying, you should be saying, ouch, every now and then. Every now and then, you should be saying, ouch. That is a good sign that God is still working with you. It's a wonderful sign that the Holy Spirit is still working with you. So light exposes. And here's the last thought for our study this morning. What does light do? What does light do? Light heals. Light heals. It heals. If you put a withered plant underneath the sun, oftentimes in time, that plant will go stronger and stronger and stronger. Why? Because light heals. Light heals. Light heals our wounds. Light mends our brokenness. Light infuses confidence and spiritual nutrients into our life. Light transforms us. Light heals us. Light mends us. Light heals us. The more you stay in the light of God, the more healing you'll get, the more confidence you'll get, the more boldness you get, the more power you'll get. How do I know? Because I've experienced the light of God. Before I came to Jesus, the darkness of the world broke me down. I was withering away in darkness. Listen, my brothers and sisters, we were not created to live in the darkness. We were not created to be creepy crawlers. The darkness kills you. The darkness takes away your strength and tries to sabotage your destiny. You're not created to live in the darkness. You're created to live in the light and thrive in the light. And the more that I was exposing myself to the light, the more I walked in the light of God, the stronger and stronger I became, the more confident I became. I have not always been the person that I am today. I am who I am today because of the light of God bearing down on me and pressing in to the light. And one of my favorite scriptures is Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1 that says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." The light heals. The light transforms. And God wants to turn you from darkness to light so that you could experience the healing power of heaven. Some of you have been bruised by the world. Your heart has been broken. Drugs have broke you down. You've been living in darkness, withering away. And the light of God is shining into your life today. Shining into your life. Wants to give you life. One of our church family members that we are super proud of is a sister called Nancy Bravo. We're super, super proud of Nancy Bravo. When Nancy Bravo first came to our church, she was very timid. She was very shy when she first came to the church. She lacked a basic confidence. But she began to press in to the light of God that was shining from Chapel of Change. Pressing into that light. I would see her at Bible study. I would see her at services. And she would be pressing into the light. And the light began to transform her. The light began to strengthen her. In time, Nancy began to get stronger emotionally, spiritually, and even socially. During this quarantine, when we first went on quarantine, we were a little bit concerned about Nancy on how she would hold up in the quarantine. And to my surprise, I think it was a couple days later, I got an email from Nancy Bravo. And she was excited to get connected to the church even during the quarantine. And she told me how that email was the first email that she ever sent It was the first email she ever sent. Why am I bringing this up? It's because Nancy could have remained isolated in quarantine. She could have remained discouraged. She could have balled up in a corner. But no, the light of God was been working in her life, and she wanted to press in more to the light. And ultimately, she got connected to a Zoom group for the very first time. I seen her on a Zoom group. So Nancy, if you're watching, we're super proud of you. Super, super proud. You keep pressing into the light. You are an example of the power of the light of God shining in the heart of an individual. You are an example of what the light of God does. I want to end with this verse. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. As the keyboardist comes back up. Matthew chapter 4, verse 2. Listen to this. This is a promise for you that are watching. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go free, leaping with joy like calves let out to pasture. Wow, what a beautiful promise that God gives us. You know, you contrast to what the darkness does. The darkness withers us away. The darkness breaks us down. The darkness takes away our self-esteem and our confidence. But when the Sun of Righteousness begins to shine upon us, it brings healing to us. It brings freedom. And eventually, stay in that light, beloved. We will begin to leap for joy. Leap for joy. While all the world is falling apart, while all the chaos is going around us, we will be leaping for joy because of the light of God shining upon us. I want to encourage you tonight, this morning. Receive the light of God. I want to encourage you this morning. Be committed to the light. We live in a dark generation, beloved. We're living in a dark time in our history, but we have the light of God. We have the light of God, and the light of God shall lead our way. I want to encourage you. Receive the light. I want to encourage you. Be committed to the light. Let's bow our heads in reflection of God's word. With every head bowed, I want to invite you to bow your heads wherever you're at. This is a very important time, very important part of our time together. If you're in your living room, in your car, wherever you're watching, let's bow our heads just for a couple moments, and let's just reflect upon what the Lord told us this morning. Bow your heads right there. Pray for somebody watching this broadcast. You've been living in the darkness, and it's time for you to come out of the darkness. You've been living in the darkness, and it's time for you to come out of the darkness. And God is saying, arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is shining upon you. Some of you out there need to repent because you're called to the light, but you've been pressing into the darkness. I want to lead someone in the prayer of repentance this morning. If you need to repent from the darkness, I want you from your heart to say this prayer with me. Lord God, I am sorry. I am sorry for going back to the darkness. Forgive me. Forgive me from turning away from the light. This morning, Lord, I repent. I repent from the darkness, and I submit to the light. I submit to Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I submit to Jesus as the light of this world. Come into my heart, Jesus. Shine your light upon my life. I'm committed to your light. I commit myself to your light. I will not run from your light no more. expose the things that need to be exposed, that I may need to repent from, and heal the areas of my life that need healing. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you, Father, in Jesus' name. There's people watching me right now that need healing. They don't need physical healing. They need emotional healing. They've been bruised by life, bruised by the storms of life, and they're hurting. They're bleeding out inwardly. They're not able to function. They're not able to function as a student. They're not able to function as a spouse. They're not able to function at work because they've been in the darkness, and the darkness is trying to ruin them. And Lord, I want to pray your healing over them this morning. I want to pray that your light shine and heal them this morning. Begin that healing process in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, begin to heal them by your light. And I have a word for somebody this morning. Stop running from the light. Stop running from the light. You're not designed to live in darkness. You will never fit into the darkness. Turn around. Turn around. Run to the light. Be committed to the light. Be committed to the light. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Praise. Praise God. I hope you learned something this morning. I pray that God touched you. I know He touched you right where you're at.